Good morning. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you here today. And also I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our visitors and invite you back at every opportunity that you have. This morning we are going to look at a subject called an evangelist. What I'd like to do this morning is to, first of all, introduce this particular subject. I shall also look at some definitions. I'd like to look at the evangelist's qualifications and what the work of an evangelist is. In our scripture reading this morning, James had read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And Paul says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So this morning we're going to look at the evangelist, his role. He has a specific role that he will undergo during his career. We also read what Paul had said to the Romans in chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. He said, so for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So Paul's mission was to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see some terms in the scripture concerning the evangelist. First of all, the evangelist. We read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 8. On the next day we came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven we stayed with him. Also 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Where do we get this word evangelist? We get it from the Greek noun called euangelistos, which in Strong's dictionary says the preacher of the gospel. The word evangelist in Vine defines it as messenger of good. And as a Greek verb, we see it's called euangelizo, which means to bring or announce good news, proclaim or preach the gospel. And that's what the evangelists do. They go out and preach God's word. We also see another term in the Bible that we find concerning evangelists, one of being a preacher or a herald. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7 we read, for I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. This is Paul talking to Timothy. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So Paul went out and preached the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11 goes on to say, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Paul's referring to himself, communicating to Timothy. So he was a preacher. He evangelized the word. We also see another term used in the Bible, one called a minister or servant. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So there's a guide for an evangelist, a guide for those who are preaching the message, to be a good servant, to minister. Well, this term servant not only applies to the evangelist, but also it applies to all Christians in whatever capacity they serve. Those who are elders, those who are deacons, those who are members. We are all servants of each other. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 6 and verse 10, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." So that's a job not only for preachers, not only for evangelists, but also to all Christians, to minister to the saints, to assist those who need our assistance. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "As one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Not only do evangelists have this duty to serve, but you and I as Christians have that same responsibility to serve each other, to assist each other, to help one another, not only in our spiritual walk of life, but also help us with our daily needs. So what are the qualifications of an evangelist? First of all, we read that he has to be a male. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." That doesn't mean that women shouldn't be able to influence. I hope and pray that if I say something that's contrary to the word, I hope my sisters in Christ will bring that to my attention so my soul wouldn't be lost. That's the duty of each and every one of us, to study the scriptures, to understand what the word of God is, and but also to make application to our lives, so that we may, by God's great mercy and grace, be approved as a worthy servant of His. Another qualification of an evangelist is to be able to exercise authority. That's both positive and negative. To understand what the scriptures say and to apply them. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with authority. Let no one disregard you." Titus and Timothy were young preachers going out in the world in the first century to spread God's word. They were young, whatever young is at that particular century, but yet they were addressing people who were older than them and who were mature than them. But yet Paul says, speak with authority, and that authority comes from God's word. I had heard a preacher mention that there was a young evangelist, wasn't married. And one Sunday morning he was preaching to the congregation about marriage. And there were members sitting in the audience that were married for more than 40 and 50 years. But yet he spoke with authority because he used God's word on what marriage was. He had that authority from the Bible, not from experience, because he wasn't even married, but yet God's word showed him. And this is how we should view what God's word is. It's the means for you and I to live a righteous life. We also see that this evangelist should be a good character. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, and faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. Your actions speak. What you do speaks to people in the world. They look upon you, since you wear the name of a Christian, make sure your speech, conduct, love, and faith, purity, show. And this is when you're looking at these particular qualities of an evangelist, they also apply to you and I. We should be of good character as Christians. In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, likewise, urge the younger men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Your conduct, your speech in the world should exemplify Christ. We could all be as Christ if we work at it. Another qualification that an evangelist should have should be studious. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. When you study, make sure you present that. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Practice what you preach. Be an example to all. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. How do you accurately handle God's word? Well, first of all, you have to read it. Second of all, you have to study it. Thirdly, you have to make application of it to your lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we read, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul talking to Timothy, who was taught by his mom and grandmother the scriptures. In verse 16, all scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We have God's word as our guide to life, as the way each and every one of us should conduct ourselves as Christians, as each and every one of us should conduct ourselves in the world. Now, preachers should live by that also. They're human just like you and I. They're also Christians like you and I. And they have the ability to proclaim God's word to all. We get from the scriptures how we're supposed to live a right life in God, so that by God's grace and mercy, we may obtain salvation. An evangelist should be steadfast in the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Again, make sure that we follow God's word. And the evangelist does the same. He takes God's word, and it's evident in his life and also in his speech and his conduct. We see that an evangelist should be impartial. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. So an individual should be impartial, an evangelist. Also, that's applicable to Christians. We should be impartial. We should not show favoritism. We should treat all the same. An evangelist should be spiritually minded. He should have a spiritual interest in the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Make sure your faith stands up the test of anything. Also love. The love you have not only for your brethren, for your spiritual family, for your physical family, but for the world. God died on the cross, not only for Christians, but for all humanity. The gospel is for all, as Paul had indicated. It's for all mankind. And during the first century, these Christians went out and proclaimed God's word. The evangelists preached Jesus. And this preaching Jesus not only applies to them, but also to you and I, to go out and tell our neighbors and friends about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy to endure hardship in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join me with him in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. We don't have those types of persecutions today. In some areas of the world, they do. And I hope and pray Christians stand up for Jesus, just like they did in the first century. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The evangelist should stand up for Christ no matter what cost. We as Christians should stand up for Christ no matter what cost it is to us. We may lose our friends. We may lose our physical family. We may lose our jobs. But stand up for Christ at all times. You'd rather lose something temporarily here on earth, but yet gain eternal life in heaven. And that's the prize that we have waiting for us. And evangelists are encouraging, are admonishing, and assisting others. And that's the duty of not only evangelists, but all Christians. Also, Paul says to be entangled. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Separate yourselves from the world, but yet be a part of the world. Also, to be diligent. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So how do you accurately handle the word of truth? The words of the scripture you don't gain by osmosis. This doesn't come to you. But yet you have to study. Understand what God says. I have difficulties when I read. I could read something and forget it 5 minutes later. But actually if I study and understand what God says, it's a little bit easier to make application. And when you're looking at, when we're looking at all these qualities, reflect upon your own life, because these qualities are also qualities a Christian should have in his or her life. Another quality would be temperate. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Now flee from your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Pursue righteousness. Make sure your faith grows. Make sure your love for God grows. Your love for the brethren grows, and also the love we have to our neighbor grows. And be at peace. Quality that not only an evangelist should have, but also Christians should have. We also see that Paul had told Timothy to not be quarrelsome, be kind, and able to teach. And be patient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. Again, not to quarrel over things. A lot of people like to argue. For what purpose? Be kind to all. Not only those who are Christians, but to all men. Able to teach. How is one supposed to teach if he doesn't study the scriptures? And that application is also to us. And be patient. That's a quality that I work on continually. Patience. Also, be gentle, meek, and humble. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. When you talk to somebody about the gospel, make sure you're kind to them. Make sure you're gentle to them. Make sure you present the gospel in a loving way, not being demonstrative and saying this is the only way. You have to be kind to those. When we reflect upon these qualities, there's 16 of them, which I found in the scriptures, they're also qualities that Christians should have. So what is the work of evangelists? Well, first of all, what to teach? What should that evangelist teach? Well, Paul says in Romans 16, in chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." He's preaching about the gospel. "For it's God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Jesus died on the cross for all mankind, and he provided the opportunity for salvation to you and I, and to all mankind. Another work of evangelism: teach and teach others to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." If you don't listen to the evangelist, if you're not here to listen to his words, how are you able to go out and teach? Well, you may say, "Well, I could study them on my own." But yet, to be encouraged by other saints, to be encouraged by the evangelist, to be admonished by things that are not right in your life, it's important to listen. So who should be, the evangelist teach? Well, first of all, you should teach the world. You should teach sinners to teach, to convert them, and also teach them to teach others. We see in Acts chapter 2 and verses 36 to 38, in the day of Pentecost, Peter was saying, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" We read in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 21, So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Philistia and to Cyprus and to Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The gospel is for the world. Also, an evangelist should be teaching the church, should be communicating to the saints, to teach them, to edify them, and to teach them to teach. You may say, "Well, I'm not a teacher." Well, I certainly, in my life, didn't take a career of teaching as my wife has. But yet I chose a different path. But Christians should be able to go out and teach, even if it means to explain to someone how you became a Christian, how you obeyed the gospel. Here's a story. Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And he left with Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So when Barnabas went and found Saul, he took him back to Antioch, and they began to teach, to preach, to encourage the saints. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, "So then, my brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain." So back in the first century, they had problems, as with the way we live in this century. We have problems, but yet we should stand fast always in Christ. So how does an evangelist get to this point? How to prepare to teach? The biggest thing is to study. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16 reflects upon that, but yet I'd like to look at just verse 13. "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." How are you going to give attention to public reading of the Scriptures if you're not here? He's telling Timothy, make sure you read the Scriptures publicly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved of God as a workman, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." This admonition was to a preacher, but yet it is applicable to us as Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 prepare for teaching, we said that we should study. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work." So by studying God's Word and presenting it to Christians, to all mankind, so that we can't be corrected in our lives. We can't be walking in a right relationship with God and also communicating that to others. So we looked at the definition of an evangelist. We said that terms in the Bible that evangelist was, we found the word evangelist, preacher, and also minister. We also looked at the qualifications of the evangelist, be the male, be able to speak with authority, to be of good character, to be studious, steadfast in the gospel, impartial, also have spiritual interest, endure hardships, be unentangled, be diligent, temperate, not quarrelsome, kind, able to teach, patient, and gentle. Again, these qualifications, these qualities should also be in us today. And the work of the evangelist is, first of all, what to teach, the gospel, the salvation to all mankind. Teach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Who should those evangelists speak to? Well, first of all, to the world. And also to the church. And how does that individual prepare? He prepares by studying. When we look at this lesson, it's also applicable to you and I. We should be studying God's Word. We should be making application of God's Word to our lives. If you're in the audience and you're not a Christian, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and willing to confess that before men and be baptized into His body, we invite you to come up. And also, if you are an erring child of God and not living a faithful life, we encourage you to come forward and make that confession as we stand and sing, Who Will Follow Jesus?